It is 21 minutes before 9 o'clock on this Thursday morning, time for today's edition of Northeast Colorado Talks. I'm Alec Creighton, and on the line with us is State Senator Rod Pelton, and we appreciate your joining us this morning.
Yeah, good morning. It's always good to visit with you.
Appreciate your connecting during the busy legislative season, and when you're a member of the minority party, a lot of times you have to spend your time trying to kill bills or water down things or those sorts of things. But you've got some bills that you're carrying, and it sounds like maybe some of them are making their way through the process of getting enacted into law.
Yeah, you know, worked on some House bills that we've gotten through the Senate. And I can go over some of those later. But one bill that got out of the Senate this week that's over in the House now, I don't know that it's been scheduled, but some of our fuel distributors out in rural Colorado, there was a glitch in statute that these new inspectors that the division had were going out and the storage tank vent pressures were too high. Even though we live in a air quality attainment zone, they were cracking down. I had some fuel distributors in Cheyenne County were getting shut off until they could fix that, and they were going to force all of the gasoline to be sourced out of the refinery up here in Denver. And during the summer, you know, that could lead to shortages. You putting the fuel that much longer out on the road, increasing liabilities. So we were able to get a waiver granted until April 15th. This bill that we passed this week actually fixes the statute to where our fuel distributors will continue to be able to source gasoline out of Nebraska, Kansas, Wyoming, you know, which really helps our bordering counties. In Cheyenne County, where I live, we get most of our gasoline out of Kansas. And so that will enable these fuel distributors to continue to get their fuel wherever it's cheapest and easiest to resource. So I think that's a good win for rural Colorado. It passed unanimously out of the Senate, and I predict the same out of the House. The division wanted it because it was not what they were wanting to do. So that's been a good one. Another one that passed out of the Senate that's over in the House now is for our high school, junior high coaches. They already have to go through concussion training every other year. And what this does is add concussion or mental health into that concussion training. It just adds a little bit more to that training they have to already do every other year. And it was brought by a family up here on the Front Range that had a daughter that had several concussions. She became suicidal, ended up committing suicide. So that bill, again, a very good bill. These concussions are causing a lot of problems with our youth athletes, and so I think that's a good bill that I think will sail through the House, too, and be signed into law. Had a couple bills from the House that we've already gotten passed. Let's see. So one of them, whenever auctioneers, you know, do benefits for like FFA or different groups, they had to register and pay and get a bond and different things just to do these charitable events that they most time will volunteer in their time, even their crews to help out. This exempts them from doing that. So, you know, out in rural Colorado, that's kind of a big deal, too, that these auctioneers just take some of that bureaucratic nonsense away from them. That's some help to communities. So that's a good bill. Another bill, and I worked on this with Representative Johnson. There was a bill passed in 23 to kind of put some standards on irrigation equipment, some efficiencies and stuff. Well, what they were finding out And this just mainly has to do with lawn sprinkler heads. There were not these, and the controllers, there weren't the products available to meet the criteria of that bill. And so we were able to run a bill and get it passed. And actually the sponsor of the bill in 23 voted for this bill because she could just see that, you know, what she wanted in her first bill was, or parts of it that wasn't able to be taken advantage of. So we were able to fix that one. You know, there's a lot of bills that are ran here that seems like we take and follow up trying to fix certain things. And, you know, sometimes even 3, 4, 5 years down the road, we're still fixing things. And this is another indication of that.
Right, so, right. Interesting.
So that's some of the bills we're working on. I think I just counted up. I'm on 16 bills so far this year, and there's still several of them in the pipeline. I just had two of them introduced last night, or I guess day before yesterday. But anyway, one of them, so the governor's office, the judicial department, CDPHE, they have all kinds of lobbyists running around this building, and we don't necessarily know who they are, what positions they're taking on, what bills, what they're lobbying for. This bill would tighten it up and make them register just like every other lobbyist in this building, so we know who they are, what their positions are on different bills, and what they're lobbying for. And it's just adding some transparency. Since I've been here, this is my eighth session, and every year there's more and more department lobbyists that are being paid with taxpayer dollars, and we need to know who they are and what they're pushing. And so this bill just is going to try to add some accountability and transparency to that, to the government liaisons.
So that's really interesting. So these are people that aren't representing industries, but they're representing like different departments of our own state government?
Yeah, different departments. And like the governor's office, he's up there trying to influence bills that aren't necessarily a department thing, just certain bills he wants to pass or certain bills he wants to kill. I think this is a good bill to try to add some accountability to them and kind of let them know people are watching and they're not happy with what's going on.
Yeah, it sounds like a transparency issue that they just need to lay the cards on the table and say what their position is. Is that kind of right. What's going on?
Right, yeah, yeah. I mean, it seems like every couple of weeks we meet a new lobbyist for the governor's office or CDPHE, and we just need to know who they are. On the Secretary of State's website, there's a page on there that all the lobbyists have to register their, if they have a position on a bill, they have to register that, and we can go in and research who those people are and who they work for. Well, right now, the department and the governor's office, those lobbyists don't have to register there, so just another way to add some transparency and accountability. And, you know, they tend to sometimes kind of fly under the radar, and this is just trying to put them on the same level as the private lobbyists that work in this building.
Yeah, that's really interesting. That's the kind of thing that doesn't really make headlines, but a part of the process that's going on there, it sounds like.
Right.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah. We're visiting with State Senator Rod Pelton, our guest this morning. So you gave us several examples of things that are going through. But as we mentioned, a lot of times your job is to try to get things to not go through or to modify them in ways to maybe make them a little more palatable. What are some examples of that? I know the last time you were on, we were talking about some bills you were hoping to get killed or modified.
Right. So we were able to kill the Seed Act bill. That was one that came through agriculture. They were going to make it to where farmers, if they wanted to plant seeds with coatings on them, they were going to have to go to the Department of Ag, ask permission, and get a prescription to buy the seed they wanted. And farmers and ranchers already, you know, they use best practices whenever they're making their decisions. They don't just willy-nilly put seed in the ground that is going to harm things. And so we were able to kill that in committee. I'm sure they'll bring it back. You know, they just keep nibbling at that elephant until they finally get it eaten. The rodenticide bill, we were not able to kill that one. There is rumor it will die over in the House. We were able to get it narrowed down a lot in the Senate. What they did is they narrowed the title, and then what the bill does now is just makes all second-generation anticoagulants a restricted-use pesticide or rodenticide, like your Rosol, your foot for prairie dogs, and then there's others, chemicals, and it's in the bill. I don't have it pulled up right in front of me, but now you will have to have a restricted-use pesticide permit.
Do we still have you there? I think our call has gone quiet here for a second. All right, it's 4 minutes till 9 o'clock. We are able to make our way through the technology and reconnect with State Senator Rod Pelton. We apologize for that inconvenience. And Senator Pelton, we've just got a couple minutes left. I kind of wanted to pick your brain on the state budget because I guess one of the state offices that looks at these budget numbers came out with some revised numbers. They do quarterly. Those came out last week, and the deficit's even bigger than initially anticipated, it sounds like.
Yeah, it is. You know, so there's two different forecasts. One comes from the Office of State Planning and Budget, and they're predicting about $1 billion. There's another group, and I can't think of what it is, and they're saying almost $1.5 billion. Of course, the JBC Joint Budget Committee is controlled by Democrats, so they're taking the OSPB number of $1 billion and working on the budget with that. I don't think it's realistic. I think the 1.5 is closer to what we're looking at, but so far, I think they're finding about a $500 million, a half $1 billion worth of cuts. My fear is instead of just, you know, more cuts, they're going to be looking at lowering the statutory reserve limit. Right now it's 15%. I'm thinking they're probably going to be looking at 13%. Of course, we have to really look at where these cuts are happening. We haven't seen those yet. I'm sure Medicaid, Medicare is going to be on the chopping block, and that hurts our rural hospitals disproportionately over the urban hospitals. So there's several things, rural schools we're going to have to be on the lookout for to make sure they don't get hit too hard. At the end of the day, probably everybody's going to be hit some. We just have to try to minimize and make sure rural Colorado doesn't carry the brunt.
And did I hear that there's some attempt to put something on the November ballot, too, that would address budget issues?
Yeah, there is. And it's going on under the guise of funding education. But what it is, if you really get down in the weeds, and it'd take us a long time to talk this one through, but I'll just hit the high levels, it would create a slush fund, for lack of a better word, that would take all the excesses, and they would fund the schools another like $26 million, and the rest would go into the slush fund that the Democrats would be able to spend on whatever. And what it would effectively do is kill Tabor at the end of the day. And the Democrats, since I've been here, that's been their goal, is to gut Tabor, and this would do it.
So that's the ability, the dollars that would otherwise be refunded to taxpayers, then the state would keep those dollars.
Yes, yes, yeah. you know, right now there's not going to be a refund this year because of all the overspending, and we're below the cap right now, so there won't be any refund for this year. But they just want to make this where if we ever get into good times again, the extra monies would go into this slush fund. And but they're running it on the guise of funding our schools. But you get down in the weeds, and it's just their way to finally drive that nail in the coffin of Tabor.
So as far as the session itself, I mean, push has got to come to shove here. Probably, I suppose, not till May. But, I mean, don't you have to balance those numbers before you adjourn?
Yes, we do. And they're predicting the budget will go to the House before it comes to the Senate this year. It'll start in the House. And they're predicting a week to 10 days it'll finally come to the House, which this is, you know, about 3 weeks later than we usually see it. We usually see it about the middle of March. So it's just been so contentious over there in the Joint Budget Committee trying to find these cuts. The Senate Republican member of the Joint Budget Committee, every time she tries to find places to make cuts that won't just cripple things, the Democrats, they cry over cutting $100,000. And, I mean, when you're $1 to $1.5 billion in the hole, there's going to have to be some pretty serious cuts happen. And, you know, there were 7,000 employees hired by this state under one-time-only money through the COVID relief dollars. And now all these departments are trying to roll them into their personal personnel line items, and there's a lot of fat that needs trimmed in this budget. This governor has grown our state budget, our government, by leaps and bounds in the last almost 8 years, and there's a lot of fat that needs to be trimmed. The problem is people get used to the programs, and it's hard to get them to do without.
Right. Okay, well, when we talk in a month from now, I'm guessing we might have a little more clarity on that. We'll look forward to another update. Very good discussion this morning. Thanks very much for your time. We really appreciate it.
You bet, Chris. It's always great to talk to you. Sorry about the mix-up and the problems, but these stinking cell phones, you just gotta love them, don't you?
They're great when they work, and they can do that every once in a while. But we made it through. So thanks very much. Senator Rod Pelton, our guest on Northeast Colorado Talks on this Thursday morning. And that is going to do it for the Farm Radio 1010 KSIR morning show for this morning. We're going to head into our morning lineup with Agriculture of America. We'll have AgriTalk. We'll have Trent Luce and Rural Route. That's all coming up here on Farm Radio 1010 KSIR.